Support comes from Catholic Charities. Driven by the message of love your neighbor, Catholic Charities is focused on improving lives in Maryland. Give the gift of love during this holiday season and learn more at cc-md.org/love.
My father, my brother, his wife, my wife, and I all took an edible like in the morning as we're preparing Thanksgiving dinner. It makes a lot more fun.
So at some point in the late 1980s, I started to cook the Thanksgiving turkey on a Weber grill, and I have never looked back.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Stoop Storytelling Series podcast. I'm Laura Wexler.
And I'm Jessica Henkin.
And this week on the podcast, well, that wasn't supposed to happen. Two stories about Thanksgiving with a twist. So I feel like this is a whole genre of stories of like holidays that don't go to plan.
Yeah.
Like I love those. There's like a archetype of them where you're like, I wanted it to be perfect. I wanted it to da da da. And I love like sitting back and waiting to see what kinds of tomfoolery is going to happen.
That's why Christmas Vacation is one of your favorite movies.
Yeah, I do really like that. I wouldn't say it's one of my favorites. I would say it's one of my favorite holiday movies.
She's a film writer for Hollywood, folks, and her favorite movie is Christmas
Love
Vacation.
The Laughs. So this first story is from Noelle.
I am a psychotherapist. Shout out to all our mental health workers here. This time of year is overtime for so many of us, so thank you for all that you do. And so with me being a therapist, you're probably thinking, wow, you know all the great drama this time of year. You get all the tea. And I do. But because of a little thing called HIPAA, I am going to talk about my own family. In addition to being a psychotherapist, I am also an ASEC-certified sex therapist, which is every Christian parent's dream for their daughter. but that is what I am, and when I explain to people what I do for a living, the quick and short of it is I love to help women have orgasms, both professionally and personally. My wife's in the crowd. Love you, baby. But this story will not be about sex, thankfully, because it is about my family. So this story takes place on Thanksgiving Day, less than 10 years ago, but more than 5 years ago. And what's important to think about this timeline is that cannabis was not legal, neither recreationally nor medically at that time. And as the youngest daughter in my family, I was designated as the person who would secure the edibles for family gatherings. Oh, I'm so glad you guys are laughing. On Thanksgiving Day, my father, my brother, his wife, my wife, and I all took an edible like in the morning as we're preparing Thanksgiving dinner. It makes a lot more fun. We are white people, so it makes it a lot more tasty, you know? So we all do this. My mother was not included in that she did not partake. She's eclectic and fun in her own ways, but does not partake in those kinds of things, which is key to remember later on in the story. So in the morning, we take our edible. We're very informal. We're all hanging out in the kitchen. We're not like a catering kind of family. So we're all cooking. It's hot in the kitchen, okay? There's like 6 stove burners going. The oven is on. The turkey is cooking. Everybody's in here. And I noticed that the cookies that were left over, the ones that we didn't already eat, are beginning to get a little melty. And wise high mind that I have was like, oh, I'll put them outside with all the beverages. We have this little, my parents have a little split level, so they have a porch that is right outside of the kitchen dining room area. And there's like a glass door where you can then go in outside so you can see everything. So I was like, all right, I'll put it with the beverages. It's fine. They'll cool down. I'll bring them home later. No harm, no foul. One thing that's also important to remember about the timeline of it being that like between 5 and 10 years is that because medical marijuana and legal marijuana wasn't a thing, you didn't know what you were going to get. It was like a fun kind of roulette situation where you might have had like a little buzz or you might have been like out of your mind, which is great for family Thanksgiving. So it was a little more than a buzz kind of year. And we get to the point where dinner is ready. I would love to like paint you this beautiful picture of a family that's like holding hands and saying grace, but that's not who we are. So we're like eating, we're vibing, we're all having a good time. And in the middle of dinner, my mom starts laughing, and everybody else is already laughing because we're high. And she's like, oh my God, look out the window. There is a squirrel with a bag of food. And in unison, like this was like movie, picturesque, perfect. My father, my brother, his wife, my wife, and I all stand up at the same time. We're like, the cookies. And we get up and we run out the back door and we chase down this squirrel. And thankfully for him and for me, he did drop the bag and we were able to secure them. So that is my quick and lovely story about how my family almost completely obliterated a poor squirrel on Thanksgiving Day. Thank you.
First of all, you know I don't like squirrels. I hate squirrels. So I was yelling like, squirrel, get the hell off. Get the hell off. But I know that in our almost 20 years of doing this stoop, we've had several holiday stories with family members inadvertently, some advertently getting high,
yes,
and others not.
Yeah.
And so what I was thinking was going to happen was that the mom was going
to be.
Yeah.
But no, that's not what happened. And that's not what should have happened, thank goodness. Because as someone like me, I really don't like marijuana. And I really like Thanksgiving and Christmas. So it'd make me so sad if I somehow ended up super high.
Yeah, well,
for Thanksgiving or Christmas. So I was relieved on behalf of the
just
mom.
Let the squirrels, squirrels have at it.
Yeah, they can handle it.
Before we get to our next story, we're going to take a quick break.
Okay, so this is a story from Wayne Murphy that he told in 2010 when we had a group of holiday shows at Baltimore Senator Theater.
Man, do you remember that? We did all these sketch shows and...
It was a lot of work.
Oh my God, all those sketches. Oh my God. I just remember the one year we did all those ones and you got the stomach flu and shit your bed.
Yeah.
And I had an ear infection and pink eye. And we had two, like,
babies.
Kids.
I mean, that's
under,
why we were so sick is because we had two babies and they were just...
Showbiz. Like,
showbiz.
Not for us.
That's showbiz, baby. Okay. So take a listen to Wayne's holiday story.
So at some point in the late 1980s, I started to cook the Thanksgiving turkey on a Weber grill, and I have never looked back. It's the easiest thing in the world. 13 minutes per pound, you start with about 20 coals on either side of the drip pan, put that bird on there, close the lid, and about every 40 minutes you come out there, lift the lid up just enough to drop about 8 fresh coals on either side of it. Now, as much confidence as I built up over the years cooking the turkey this way, there was one conquest that stood in the way of me feeling total satisfaction about this, and that was convincing my mother-in-law to let me cook the Thanksgiving turkey at her home on the Weber Grill. Because you see, when I entertained my family at my house, I could cook the turkey any way I liked. But if it was Thanksgiving at her house for her family, it was the traditional way of cooking the turkey in the oven. Now, my mother-in-law was no ordinary person. In fact, I think she was an extraordinary person. Betty Elliott was the wife of Jim Elliott, the great sports writer for the Baltimore Sun, who I'm sure many of you know about, who covered the Orioles for all those years. And because he was on the road so much, She really ran the household from top to bottom, and I had incredible respect for her. And while I had earned my credentials with her in terms of household repairs, I really hadn't earned them yet in home economics. And so I pleaded and I cajoled and I begged, and I finally convinced her that I was capable of preparing the Thanksgiving turkey at her home on the Weber Grill. She said, "I'll provide the turkey, the charcoal, and the other things you need. You just show up." So I arrived on that fateful day and almost immediately knew I was in for a challenge. I opened the shed to find in the back dark, damp corner a white bag with black letters that said charcoal on it that looked like it was about 30 years old, next to a rusty can of lighter fluid. Undaunted, I piled the coals on, dumped lots of fluid on them, lit my first match, threw it in, nothing. Started to squeeze a little more of the lighter fluid onto the coals, and it was starting to come out in the consistency of snot now, and took another match and I threw it down, nothing. I think I practically emptied the can on the third try, and I said a brief prayer to the patron saint of lighter fluid, and I dropped the last match on it, and whoosh, mushroom cloud. Now, you have to picture the setting. I'm on a concrete patio in the back of the house within plain view of about six or seven of the other neighbors' houses who could see what was going on here, and I would imagine this flash of flame caught all their attention on a cold November morning. The coals got rocket hot. I plopped the lid down, went in to watch some football with my father-in-law. 40 minutes later, confident, I come out. The kettle is ice cold. The coals have gone out. At 13 minutes per pound, I'm on a glide path to serve 5 pounds of uncooked turkey at the dinner table. So I panicked. I put more of the goop on. I got the coals lit, but I don't know how I'm going to keep them lit. And then I had a MacGyver moment. I ran in the kitchen, and I said, "Can I have the turkey baster, please?" And my mother-in-law said, "Are you basting already?" I said, "Well, yes, it's amazing, isn't it?" Of course I lied. I get outside, I pull the bulb off the turkey baster, I lay on the ground, and I stick one end of it in the vent in the bottom of the charcoal grill, and I start blowing at the other end. Now, remember where I'm doing this. At this point, I picture all the neighbors starting to look out the window and wondering what the hell is going on in the Elliott's backyard. And you can just imagine some father kind of lining his kids up and saying, "Children, that's what happens when you use drugs. Look at him out there. He's a complete wastoid." So it worked. The kettle got rocket hot. I went back inside, and that was my ritual. About every 30 minutes, I was back out there. A couple of coals laying on the ground, trying to keep it going. So finally, the time came to take the turkey off. I got the platter. I walk outside. I lift the lid off, and there it is, a beautiful, perfectly cooked turkey, covered in a thick coat of gray charcoal ash. So I'm panicked at this point. I run in the kitchen, 40 yards of paper towels. I'll be right in with the turkey. So I lift the turkey, put it on the picnic table, and I'm out there now, wiping off the turkey on the back deck. So I'm just picturing no one's eating or watching football at any of the neighbors' houses. They're all watching the window. Look, what's he doing now? He's got the turkey. He's wiping the turkey off. So to add insult to injury, as I'm lifting the drip pan out to pour the drippings into the pot to make some gravy, I knock two of the hot coals into the drip pan, and they're sizzling around like little comets, just cooling themselves off in the gravy, and I'm trying to get them with the tongs. I finally got them out, and at this point I realize I'm about to kill everyone in that house because I have poisoned the turkey and I've poisoned the drippings. So it was a Norman Rockwell moment at the table with everything set out there, and I remember somebody remarked about how shiny the turkey looked. Of course it's shiny, I thought to myself. I've just been brushing it down with charcoal grit. So we were about to have a Norman Bates experience, clearly. So I don't know whether it was guilt or whether I just didn't want to be there to see the death throes of my loved ones, but I took the largest serving of turkey I could fit on the plate, and I poured gravy all over everything. I closed my eyes. I took that first bite, and it was the best turkey I have ever made. And it's the best turkey I've ever made since. And I tell you, the look of pleasant surprise on my mother-in-law's face was the greatest Thanksgiving gift a son-in-law could ever ask for. Thank you, Baltimore.
Wayne Murphy. I
could be in Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
Straight to script, as they say.
It was really good. I just love how he understood that he was poisoning his family, but he also just went with it. He's like, it's probably not going to kill him.
The show must go on.
And I just also love how much he loves his mother-in-law
in
this story.
He definitely wanted to impress her and get her approval.
I mean, because it's like such a trope to have like the son-in-law just be like, oh, that old bag of bones is, you know. But he's like, no, I really liked her and I wanted her to be happy.
Sweet. At this point, I feel like I would be remiss if I didn't point out that Jessica's husband makes the turkey for our Friendsgiving every year. And as far as I know, nothing like this has ever happened.
Oh, no. He wouldn't be able to handle it.
Yeah. He does such a great job. It is, like, so good.
He uses,
bacon-wrapped, right?
Yeah. And it's who is the angry chef that's British?
Gordon Ramsay.
Gordon Ramsay. That's right. Thank you, Maureen, our producer. He uses Gordon Ramsay's recipe.
Yeah.
And it's so that's when I know the holidays are beginning, because he listens to it or watches it on YouTube. And Gordon, it's a Christmas turkey. So there's Christmas music in the background. So I also get our Christmas tree the day after Thanksgiving.
That's
Black Friday.
Yeah. That's Jessica Henkin
that's me, baby.
In a thing.
Speaking of Christmas and all the holidays that happen in the winter, the Stoop Holiday Hootenanny is coming up, an evening of holiday stories and music. It's Tuesday, December 3rd at the beloved Senator Theater. It's always a really fun time. Our musician this year is Laura Wortman of the Honey Dewdrops. She's putting together like a super group of musicians. So should definitely come out. The stories are going to be great. It's going to be a great time.
Visit StoopStoryTelling.com for info on shows and to buy tickets. And we will be back soon with more stories from the Stoop.
Support comes from Catholic Charities. Driven by the message of love your neighbor, Catholic Charities is focused on improving lives in Maryland. Give the gift of love during this holiday season and learn more at cc-md.org/love.